Mazzara and Parra project to Amimora. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the Bay that scare ya. Machado or Bono or Nolan Garantano.
We'll teach you how to win Rondo. Start, sit, and drop, and all you need to know. Outlaws, Rick Porcello. Now let's get on with the show.
Oh, we got a fun show for you today on Fantasy Baseball Today. If you're a Manny Machado owner and you're wondering, what is going on? This guy hasn't been very good. You're right. We're going to tell you just how bad he's been lately. Same thing with David Ortiz, with Mark Trumbo. Are you worried about Johnny Cueto? Well, we'll find out if Al Melchior is worried about him and some other guys. Al Melchior, you know, I'm going to say this. I'm so happy with the way the show has come together today. You would have to do a really just terrible job as an analyst for this show not to be great.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to put all of it on you if the show underperforms.
Okay, because I feel like if I just did even a mediocre job, that it's not going to be a good podcast.
No, mediocre should be fine. You'd have to be awful today.
Pressure is off.
Like, look what we're going to start with. We don't usually start with this on a Thursday, but I think I want to start transitioning the show a little bit to playing more of the matchups on a week-by-week basis, a little bit less of the rest-of-season thing. And I think there are two pretty tough calls for two start pitchers in Week 19. One of these guys is available on waivers, Kevin Gausman, in some leagues. He's 59% owned, and he's got a 2.39 ERA at home and a 5.62 ERA on the road. And the other guy is Jake Odorizzi, who's 87% owned. Could you even imagine sitting a guy with three straight scoreless starts and four straight good starts overall? But they both have reverse splits for next week, you know, because Gausman's got two road starts where, again, he has a 5.62 ERA at Oakland, at San Francisco. And Odorizzi's got two road starts, and he's much worse in pitcher's parks, at Toronto and at the Yankees. Two tough calls. Start or sit those two AL East pitchers.
Well, I can't imagine sitting Jake Odorizzi in those big-time home run parks. And, you know, the Yankees, I mean, without Beltran, they've gone from being a not-so-fearsome lineup to a decidedly less fearsome lineup. But at least, you know, when Beltran was in the lineup, they had a pretty good isolated power at home. But even if Odorizzi aces that start, I do fear that Blue Jays start for him. So yeah, he's had three consecutive scoreless starts. Really, the last four starts for Odorizzi have been very, very good.
Yeah.
Throwing a lot more strikes. So probably just the improved command overall is showing up in better results. But those four starts have also come against the Royals, the Yankees, A's. And then the first one was against Baltimore, yeah. But that was at home.
Mm-hmm.
And the Orioles haven't really hit that well last several weeks.
Oh, boy, don't say that, Al. Let me tell you, I got an email yesterday. You got an email yesterday. We got the email. I want to see who wrote it here. I'll give credit where credit's due. And it was basically a why do you hate Baltimore email. And I didn't know. Oh, it's from Greg. Greg says, on to the hate of Baltimore. Why does the podcast hate the Orioles? It seems like whenever you talk about a pitcher, I hear they pitch their home games at Camden Yards, so I don't trust them.
Okay, well, there's all kinds of things to unpack here. I love Baltimore.
I like Baltimore.
I absolutely love Baltimore, so let's just dismiss that or dispel that right out of the gate. And that's, I mean, first of all, the Orioles don't really have a very good rotation. So hate might be a strong word, but no, I do not like the Orioles rotation.
Okay, Gausman.
But even a good rotation would worry me in one of the most amenable ballparks for offense.
So what do you make of that weird split for Gausman with a 2.39 ERA at home? He said he just feels more comfortable pitching at home. It's 5.62 on the road, and I actually think I would start him next week at Oakland and San Francisco, at Oakland and at San Francisco, because I looked at his road track record this year, and he hasn't been bad on the road against bad lineups. He's been bad on the road against the good line. You know, at Boston might be bad for him, something like that, at Toronto. I don't remember off the top of my head, but when he's gone to favorable, you know, stadiums and matchups, Gausman's been fine. And the way San Francisco's playing, Oakland, I don't think their lineup's very good. I'd rather start him than Odorizzi.
I definitely would too. And it's not a must add situation for me with Gausman because he's been really inconsistent this year, but he has been better. And actually, if you go back to, June 25th, you know, he's got a respectable 3.61 ERA. And the strikeout to walk ratio has been far more than respectable, 44 strikeouts to 9 walks. But again, the home runs are something that worry me a bit with him. But, you know, I would expect that that would be worse at Camden Yards. He had a 3-homer game recently, the worst start of this 7-game stretch for Gausman. That was at Toronto. So I think with the venues and the matchups, if I really felt like I needed to add a 2-star pitcher, I'd be okay starting Gausman.
Okay. 2-star pitchers, we'll focus on them tomorrow. I didn't even realize that Mike Napoli entered yesterday with a 4-game homer streak. It is now up to 5. We will talk about Mike Napoli. We will talk about Justin Turner, who has been unbelievable. Why is Tyler Anderson owned in less than 30% of leagues? We had a blown save at Wrigley Field yesterday. We had a blown save. Oh, gosh. What stadium do the Angels play in? What's their stadium?
It would be called Angel Stadium.
Hmm. Wow, I was looking for a sponsor there. I was looking for a sponsor.
Not sure where they came up with that, but yeah.
All right, we had a blown save there. But first, let's get to the big news. And of course, you can email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We've gotten a lot of really good emails that we're going to read later today. Big news item number one, Al. Every Minnesota hitter is hitting the cover off the ball. They're just dominating. Dozier has been great. Joe Mauer is having a huge week. Kepler, I am playing against Max Kepler and I think Mike Napoli in our podcast league. So yeah, it's going to be a tough week for me. But another big outing for their lineup. I guess they just hated Eduardo Nunez. It's the only thing I can think of.
But that must be it. It's a lineup that underachieved early on this season. And now I think they're kind of making up for it. But, you know how, Adam, we've had discussions in the past where, you know, you said, well, how regression works is that, you know, you're as good as you were bad before. You completely make up the difference.
Yeah, right.
And I've said, no, that's not how it works. Well, apparently that is how it works because that's what's going on with the Twins. I think they've got some overperformers right now in the lineup. But I think the happy medium is where I would expect them to be rest of season.
Brian Dozier's been, you know, roughly a top 5 hitter for roughly the last 2 months.
Yeah. You know, and
I did some research on Justin Turner and what he's been in his last 47 games or something like that. And he's been outstanding and just a little bit worse than Brian Dozier. So same time frame, Dozier's been a top 4 hitter. I think number 3 hitter overall. That's pretty awesome. You know, we made a trade earlier this year. I gave you Dozier. You gave me Dozier. I gave you Aaron Sanchez. So it was pretty good trade.
Yeah, I think that's worked out all the way around.
Yeah,
it's going to probably work out a lot better for you from this point forward, but yeah, so far.
J.D. Martinez came in as a pinch hitter. He had a home run yesterday. He should start today. Clayton Kershaw has been moved to the 60-day disabled list. This really isn't huge news. That means the earliest he's eligible to return is August 27th, somewhere around there. He wasn't going to be back before then anyway. How close are you to dropping Clayton Kershaw?
Well, first of all, this is a hypothetical because I don't own him in any of my 87 leagues. If I were to own Kershaw, I wouldn't be ready just yet. The fact that he hasn't been back to any sort of baseball activity, that to me is the bigger news than just that the procedural aspect of going to on the 60-day DL. Mm-hmm. But, you know, given that there is still some chance that he could help me down the stretch, I would not want to drop Kershaw just yet.
Lance McCullers is on the DL with an elbow sprain. Joe Musgrove will replace McCullers in the Astros rotation. If you missed it, Musgrove replaced him 2 days ago out of the bullpen, tied a major league record for most strikeouts by a reliever in his major league debut. So I will talk about that when I look at a transaction Al made. He dropped someone to pick up Musgrove. I thought it was surprising. We'll get to that.
I picked up Musgrove in so many leagues I can't even think of which one this might
be. Our auction league. Aaron Sanchez league. The Memorial.
Okay.
The one I just referenced. All right. So we'll get there. Aaron Nola's on the DL with an elbow strain and could miss the rest of the season. So I drop him. Is it okay to drop Aaron Nola?
Yeah, I think it's okay to drop Nola.
Jake Thompson could be called up to replace him. Any interest?
You know, not that much. Pretty much just NL only. And, I have to wonder if Thompson maybe, when he comes up, does something similar to what Nola did when he first came up last year, because he hadn't put up great numbers in the minors, I think particularly Double A, and then really outperformed what those numbers would have led you to believe he was going to do. Because Thompson's just not really put up very impressive numbers this year. Really been sort of a pitch to contact guy without really good control. So I don't, there's not a lot there. And, pitching for the Phillies, it's not like, okay, well, maybe you're going to get wins. I'm just not sure Thompson's going to deliver anything that you need other than, the occasional decent start in a really deep league.
All right. The Yankees called up Gary Sanchez, their catching prospect. He DH'd last night against a lefty. He might catch against righties, DH against lefties, and have Brian McCann DHing against righties and sitting against lefties, because the Yankees are going with three catchers. So it's possible that McCann, and he has been sitting against lefties kind of for a while, because Austin Romine's been very good against lefties. But McCann might have less playing time than Gary Sanchez going forward. So two-catcher league, Sanchez certainly becomes viable. Would you rather have Sanchez or a guy who homered yesterday, Mike Zunino?
I think I would rather have Zunino. Pretty close.
Yeah, we talked about him being really underowned. 7% owned Mike Zunino. And starting a lot lately, that's like 9 of 13 or 10 of 14 or something like that for Zunino starting. The Dodgers were called Julio Urias. He gave up 3 runs in relief last night in 3 innings at Colorado. Could start this weekend against Boston. Your level of interest in Julio Urias?
Not very high, because I think he's just going to be yo-yoed up and down either between the minors and majors or between the rotation and the bullpen. And again, when he pitches, I'm sure he'll pitch fine, but he may not go more than 5 innings in a given start.
It is really annoying to own him in a keeper league with a minor league spot. It's great if he stays in the minors, but if he's just going to come up and pitch out of the bullpen or pitch 5 inning starts, what are you getting for it? That's a situation I'm dealing with. Very annoying with Arias, but there's no way I'm dropping him, because I definitely want to keep him for next year.
That sounded like you could personally relate to that situation.
Yeah, that is my one keeper league. I'm enjoying it. I'm in this keeper league. First time I'm ever doing a baseball keeper league. And it's not a huge keeper league. You only keep 3, but there's some, draft pick value. You keep them in the round they were drafted, and whatever. It's kind of a little more complicated than that. But Arias is almost certainly going to be one of my keepers with is close to a 30th round pick.
Wow.
Andrew McCutchen.
That is some good value.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Al. Andrew McCutchen has sat Tuesday and Wednesday, and he's going to sit today. They're sitting him for the entire series against the Braves, so should not have started him. Oops. And, when do you start to get really worried about McCutchen?
Like now.
Yeah, this is bad.
But I'm going to be honest, and I may write about this. It's certainly on my short list of things I want to write about. Because this is what I call the Mike Lowell phenomenon, where Lowell had this one horrific season. I think he was age 29 or 30. And there was no explanation for it whatsoever. And then the next year he was right back to being, the Mike Lowell that fantasy owners could rely on. And, this is just a situation I don't really know how to respond here, because I have no real explanation that I feel comfortable with as to why McCutchen is having such a horrible year.
Yeah, it's injury is obviously what a lot of people will go to. And maybe these 3 days off, it's actually going to be 4 days off, because I think they were off on Monday, will help him. But that's what I thought about the All-Star break, and it didn't work. So that stinks. Yoenis Cespedes is going to go on the DL today with a quad injury. Brandon Nimmo will be recalled. So I hope you didn't drop Michael Conforto. Josh Reddick sat against a lefty. We wanted to see how the Dodgers would play that. He sat against a lefty at Colorado. Scott Van Slyke, Enrique Hernandez, and Jack Peterson were in the outfield for the Dodgers. So that's, not a good development, but we'll see if it's a trend. Carlos Gonzalez sprained his ankle after a 2-homer game, and he says he won't miss any games. We'll see, but it doesn't appear to be a serious injury. Hanley Ramirez is going to miss at least a couple of games with a sprained wrist. No structural damage. Shin-Soo Choo, likely to come off the DL today. Very interested to see what happens in Texas. And Billy Burns likely going to start today for the Royals. I didn't even mention that Billy Burns trade as we did all the trade deadline stuff. He's on the Royals now. Do you have any interest in Billy Burns?
Well, now that he's up, yeah, I definitely have some interest in Roto and certainly in deeper Roto leagues. But, you know, initially there wasn't a reason to really get excited about Burns and you know, sort of went on the back burner because he wasn't even going to be, you know, playing initially for the Royals. Yeah, instead be playing for Omaha.
Yeah. All right. Well, he's up. So, yeah, Matt Duffy could be back next week for Tampa Bay. Is he going to play shortstop, Al?
That's the report, which is a puzzling one. I know Brad Miller's not too happy about it, and I can't blame him.
Yeah,
because
he's
at least at the plate, he's having a breakout season.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't know about the fielding, but that is pretty interesting. In fact, I lost Aledmys Diaz and Trevor Story in the same league, and I was going to pick up a shortstop last night. I was going to pick up Brad Miller, but I didn't because I saw that report, and I picked up Jed Jerko instead. I feel much worse about that than Brad Miller.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is, you know, kind of a double-edged development here because that was a horrible mixed metaphor I just dropped on you. because it potentially ruins Miller's value, but it could be very good for Duffy's value. And I think that Duffy is actually somebody that you could pick up. He's about 60% owned in CBS leagues. And he, you know, did not have a very good season, the portion that he played with the Giants. But here's another one. I cannot find an explanation for why Duffy was so unproductive other than bad BABIP luck. And I don't really like to resort to that explanation, but it's really the only one I have because in terms of batted ball indicators, he's the same hitter he was last year, Duffy. So the only real difference for him is just a much lower BABIP. So eventually he should become shortstop eligible. And yeah, beyond Brad Miller, there aren't options on waivers in a lot of leagues that may be any better.
Okay.
You're just not going to be able to use them at short right away.
Yeah, I mean, that is a 16-team league, so I think I'd be able to do better in a 12-team league, but still, that was disappointing. And I think Francisco Mejia, a Cleveland catching prospect, set a minor league record dating back to reclassification in 1961 with a 45-game hitting streak. I know he would have tied it yesterday. He was one short of the record going into last night, and he got two hits last night. So I didn't see any headlines, but I think we have a 45-game hitting streak in the minors for I think he's in single A catcher Francisco Mejia. Kind of cool. Even cooler. You got it?
Well, no, not yet. Actually, this is embarrassing because he was traded at the deadline.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't.
That's right. Okay, that's what I was trying to nail down, and wasn't doing it in a timely fashion. But I was trying to get that straight. But that's right. He was in the Lucroy deal that got called back.
Yes.
Or that just never happened.
Forget him. I don't even care. Minor leagues. We don't do minor league fantasy. AJ Pollock, Al. He might start a rehab assignment soon. This is exciting stuff here.
Oh, it's very exciting stuff. So, stubbornness and holding on to Pollock. Hopefully it pays off.
Yeah, I'm ready to raise the roof. Don't know when he'll be back, but hopefully you've been stashing him if he's available. Actually, we're very interested to see his ownership percentage. AJ Pollock, ladies and gentlemen. What do you think his ownership percentage is?
I'll say about 40.
68%. That means he's available in some CBSSports.com leagues. Do a search for AJ Pollock. He faced live pitching on Tuesday, could start a rehab assignment fairly soon. Doesn't mean he'll be back that soon, but here's something that Al did yesterday. Al dropped Colin McHugh for Joe Musgrove. I was pretty surprised by that. I'm going to put in a claim for Colin McHugh.
I think I have pretty good pitching in that league, and I'm just not starting McHugh very often. And he's been very inconsistent, so he's pretty low on the trustometer for me.
I think he's been pretty consistent except for that last start against the Tigers. And Tigers are hitting just about everybody except for Chris Sale. All right, so for me, yeah, I'll drop Drew Smyly for him.
Yeah, well, I would do that. And if I had Drew Smyly, I would have dropped him instead. But I really wanted to get Musgrove onto my roster. I really love what he's done in the minor leagues this year, and then what he did in relief of McCullers the other night. You know, Grant, it's one outing. It was, what, four innings, four and a third, something like that. but just absolutely backed up what he's done in the minors with incredible control, lots of swings and misses, pretty good ground ball rate. I'd like to see what he can do in the rotation.
So you, Al, you see a guy pitch in relief, does well, and you say, oh, yeah, I got to add him to my lineup. I got to add him to my roster. I love Joe Musgrove. You are crazy, except I did the same exact thing with Luis Severino, who the Yankees have not confirmed that he will be back in the rotation, but Joe Girardi said, well, we envision him as a starter. We haven't had a chance to look at it, blah, blah, blah. He made it a mechanical adjustment. He was tipping his pitches by tilting his head back on his fastball. This is a reading from Ken Davidoff in the New York Post. Severino, Girardi said he did the best he's done all year with that adjustment, not giving away his fastball. His slider was really good last night. And since being recalled, Severino has thrown 8 1/3 scoreless innings with 1 hit, 3 walks, and 10 strikeouts in 3 appearances. So he could get a 2-start week next week. It would be at Boston and home against Tampa Bay. Severino's 29% owned. Musgrove or Severino, my friend?
I guess I got to stick behind my actions and say Musgrove, but I think it's just as defensible to go after Severino.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what my greater hesitation is.
No, well, look, with him. For one thing.
I know what it is.
What is it?
Well,
you hate the Yankees.
It's the unknown of Musgrove as opposed to the known track record with Severino when he was not very good earlier this year.
Well, yeah, that and he's not officially in the rotation yet. So
that's a good point too, because I did add Musgrove. I think it was in 2 leagues, just immediately after the relief appearance, thinking, well, God, with that kind of performance, he's going to force the issue. But when I knew for sure he was going to be the rotation, then I went and picked him up in, I think, four other leagues. So, yeah, when that news comes out with Severino, I probably would be a little more aggressive.
Aaron Judge is another guy I picked up. He's back off the DL in the minor leagues. I think he's going to be up, I don't know, within the next couple weeks would be my guess. If he keeps hitting well. He was on an absolute tear, Aaron Judge, Yankees right fielder, and they obviously need a right fielder. So the Yankees are playing for the future. And Judge should be up pretty soon. So I picked him up in our 5 outfielder roto league and didn't have to drop anyone. I had Salazar on the DL, but I was considering dropping Corey Dickerson for him. I think that's defensible.
I actually figure you're going to at best get similar results from Judge that you've been getting from Dickerson.
Yeah.
You know, probably some pretty good power, but nothing that's going to, you know, be amazing. And probably not a great batting average.
Let's talk about some of the guys who have been awesome. Mike Napoli. Napoli's the number 12 first baseman in points league. His walks to strikeout ratio is awful. He's got 46 walks, 136 strikeouts. 136 strikeouts, 99 games. Whew. And the number 9 first baseman in Roto, where that ratio doesn't matter. And a home run in 5 straight games to give him 27 on the year. Napoli's driven in 77 runs with a .249 batting average. He's been great at home, OPS over 1,000. He's been bad on the road, 660 OPS. But I'm getting to the point where I would bench Jose Abreu for Mike Napoli.
I have been struggling with that decision in a league for probably about a month now.
You got to do I can't do it anymore. I don't have that option. I have Abreu in our podcast league. But last night, I'm so sick of Jose Abreu, I went to the waiver wire. I was hoping, please, Yanhervis Solarte, be available, but he wasn't, so I didn't get to pick up anybody. But let's make this about Napoli, though. What do you make of him?
You know, this seems like a kind of a turn back the clock kind of scenario from Napoli that I would have expected this season from him maybe like 4 years ago. So it's not completely out of the expected that that he's doing this, but for me, I am starting him in one league in a DH spot, and I'm just viewing it as a play the hot hand kind of thing, that I'm not completely trusting that he'll be this good for the last 2 months. But like I said, it's, you know, if it's just him just rediscovering the form that he had a few years ago, this is exactly what you expect. Really very good power and not a very good batting average.
And, you know, I thought maybe it would happen last year because Napoli had that sleep apnea surgery.
Yeah.
And it didn't. It was, before the start of the 2015 season, but he had a bad year. He slugged .410 with a .224 batting average, and this year much, much better. I don't know if it has anything to do with that surgery. I guess, you know, you would think logically that that would have helped him last year.
I mean, yeah, you can construct a story around this that, you know, he had declined, you know, maybe in part because of the sleep apnea, and then after the surgery there was a transition period, and now he's back to where he was. But
sure.
Again, you know, given where he's at in his career path, it's surprising, and I don't totally trust it.
Go write that story, Al. Write that on the website. put a name on that. Now, you say Mike Napoli, you're kind of not really sure what to expect going forward, but you'll ride the hot hand. How do you feel about Justin Turner, who is the number four hitter in fantasy in his last 47 games, .328, 16 home runs, and 15 doubles in 47 games, a .1040 OPS. Again, Dozier, Donaldson, and Encarnacion are the only three hitters who have been better than Turner in his last 47 games. Do you feel it's more legit than Napoli?
I would say in a way it's less legit, which doesn't mean that I'm not starting Turner, but because that would be ridiculous. I mean,
yeah.
Everybody should be starting Justin Turner. But he's just been a very streaky hitter over the last 2 to 3 seasons. So I just don't think he's, you know, anywhere close to being a first rounder, which is what this performance would indicate. And I don't think anybody does think of him that way. But I don't even think of him as really even an early round option for 2017. I think this is a good, solid hitter that you could start every week who is just at the absolute ceiling of his ability.
Now, you know who also I think, and I didn't really get a big chance to go thoroughly in depth researching this. Another guy that I think is a streaky hitter is Yanhervis Solarte. And I'm happy to pick him up, ride him while he's hot, but I feel like we've seen this before. In fact, he had a terrible June and a great July and off to a good start in August. But Solarte is less than 70% owned in CBSSports.com leagues and pretty versatile guy in terms of position eligibility. You know, who would you rather own if you needed a third baseman, Solarte or Justin Turner?
I would rather have Turner, for sure. I don't think there's that much difference, though, when they kind of even out. I don't feel like Solarte is overperforming quite to the degree that Turner is, because he has been fairly consistent since about last August or maybe even late July. He finished the year with a big power spike and hitting for average, and that's pretty much what he's done this year.
Yeah, he was a sleeper for you at the beginning of the year, right, Solarte?
Yeah.
All right, look, if you need a first baseman, second baseman, or third baseman, you could certainly do worse than Yanhervis Solarte. Why is Tyler Anderson 26% owned? He's got a 3.25 ERA, 10 starts this year. He's given up more than 3 runs one time in those 10 starts, and he's got 2 starts next week, Texas at home at Philadelphia. Tyler Anderson.
He is 26% owned because he is a Rocky.
And they're good now, by the way. They're in the playoff hunt. Like, they're playing really well. This is exciting. I'm excited. I'm hopeful for the Colorado Rockies. And it sucks that they lost Trevor Story. But we're starting to see the good pitching and the good hitting actually turn into wins.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think Anderson is, you know, a part of this winning streak for Colorado, or, you know, a change of fortunes. I think he's legitimately good. To give Anderson his due, I think I also do have to give John Gray his due. I moved him way up yesterday in light of the last start that he made. And taking a closer look at the past matchups that Gray had. But after our discussion on the podcast, realized that, you know, I needed to adjust that pretty dramatically. But to me, Anderson is just as trustworthy. He's probably not going to give you the same sort of strikeout totals that Gray's going to, but he's a ground ball pitcher who is making it work everywhere, including Coors Field.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. They are one game worse than the Mets. That is a crazy statement. The Mets are one game better than the Colorado Rockies. And, you know, good for the Rockies. 2-game winning streak for them. 8-2 in their last 10, 54-53. And I think Anderson should be on the most added list at 26% with 2 starts coming up. I mean, I know one of them is Texas at home, but Texas won't have a DH, and he's been good at home. So I'm fine with it. Plus, the other one's at Philadelphia. You cool with that?
No, I am cool with that. I would definitely start Anderson next week, and that's not really having a great expectation that that Texas start is going to be a good one. I mean, they're so deep that I don't think they'll miss the DH, but I think he'll be okay enough there and should be very good against the Phillies.
Couple things real quick, Al. Do you think there's any reason for an AJ Ramos owner or a Cam Bedrosian owner to be worried after bad outings last night or yesterday and last night?
Maybe a little more for Bedrosian just because I don't believe he's been named the official starter or official closer rather for the Angels. So that might give Mike Socha, you know, reason to spread the save opportunities around. Mm-hmm. Ramos, I wouldn't worry about. And I mean, who's going to supplant him? I mean, first of all, he's been very consistent up until this particular really ugly blown save. But Fernando Rodney's not been good lately.
No. And both of them, Ramos and Bedrosian, just struggled with command yesterday.
Yeah.
Three walks for both of them. Bedrosian gave up his first run in over 2 months. First run since May 31st, and Ramos only blew his second save of the season.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of consistency for both of them there. Like I said, I just worry more about Bedrosian because of his specific situation. I do think he's by far the best closer candidate in Anaheim, so I think this may delay him getting those consistent save opportunities a little bit.
Well, he actually came in, I kind of buried the lead, he came in a save situation for the second straight day. So mm-hmm. that was a good sign. Now, I am pretty excited for fantasy football. I hope you're listening to our Fantasy Football Today podcast. I'm very excited for daily fantasy football, but in the meantime, I'm playing more daily fantasy baseball on FanDuel.com. Every day, a new chance to win money. And even if you don't win money, the contests are just $1 and up, and you're going to enjoy yourself. You know, it wasn't always about winning money or anything like that, because I was never playing for a ton of money. Buck here, $2 here, maybe $5 if I felt really good about my lineup, something like that. I just like playing more fantasy baseball, and that's what you get a chance to do every single day on FanDuel.com. And I've tried the other DFS sites. They're not even close. FanDuel is the place to be. And if you're a new user, if you want a chance to play for free, basically, here's what you do. You enter your first league with our promo code HOMERUN when you sign up. The promo code is HOMERUN, one word, no spaces. And you either win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play on FanDuel.com. Al, some slumping sluggers. These guys have gone cold.
I think you misnamed this this portion of the podcast. It should be We Hate Baltimore.
We hate Baltimore. We hate the American League East if they're not on the Yankees. That's what this this is. Now, David Ortiz, 5-for-36 in his last 9 games with 2 walks to 9 strikeouts, 1 home run and 1 double. 2 walks to 9 strikeouts gives him 54 walks, 54 strikeouts on the year. So Ortiz is struggling. Machado, this blew my mind. Last 27 games since July 1st, Manny Machado is the number 26 shortstop and number 29 third baseman in points leagues, the number 36 shortstop and number 40 third baseman in Roto leagues. Yeah, I got that right. So he's been really bad in Roto. He's been just bad in points league. And it's because of a .217 batting average, 4 home runs, obviously no steals. He doesn't do that. But only 12 walks, 19 strikeouts. So I don't know, maybe just a slump. Mark Trumbo.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I'll go back to you in a second. Mark Trumbo, .167 batting average, 2 home runs since the All-Star break, 4 doubles. And then we'll talk about Eric Hosmer in a second. He's kind of a different category. But Ortiz, Machado, Trumbo, any concerns about these three?
Not really. If there's a concern, it's Trumbo. And it's not that I think that he's necessarily become a worse hitter or a different player. But he was just somebody who going into the break looked regression bound. And again, he's doing an Adam Azer regression, which is that he's stinking to the full extent that he was great before.
Yeah, well, I also was a little worried about him just because he's had bad second halves before.
Oh, I thought you were going to say home run derby.
That might not help, but he has had some pretty stinky second halves.
Well, yeah, he was kind of due for, if not a stinky one, certainly not as good of a second half as the first half. So, but again, this is worse than who he is, so he'll level out, and I'm not especially worried about him. I just never expected him in the first place to replicate what he did in the first half. And Machado, yeah, the numbers aren't good. The 4 home runs, which is not, you know, a great number over 27 games, it's also not that disturbing. You know, right. It takes him a bit off of his pace, but like you said, the steals, well, that ship sailed, you know, earlier this year when it became apparent he was going to run a lot. I was surprised. I looked at some exit velocity rankings yesterday, and Machado was way lower in them than I expected. But the year-to-date numbers, I think, are fine. So,
yeah, he's had a good year.
Yeah.
I only have one concern about Machado, and it's not even like a concern I would do anything about in fantasy. It's more just thinking out loud, talking baseball. They never rest Manny Machado. The only time he ever rests is when he got suspended earlier this year. You know, Buck Showalter would play him 162 games if he can. And I don't love that. But hasn't really hurt him in the past.
Yeah, I mean, he could be wearing down. Who knows? Or I just tend to think it is just a slump. And same thing for David Ortiz, by the way. Unless he's just checked out and he's already, you know, basically planning his retirement.
You couldn't expect Ortiz to hit 330, right?
Right.
So a slump. He was bound to slump. He's at 313 now. Hosmer, 45 games now with a 222 batting average, 3 home runs, a 591 OPS, a 313 slugging. So he has, and he was very good before that. He was having his best year. But Hosmer now, you know, I'm looking at the numbers. He's got his highest strikeout percentage of his career. He's got the Adrian Gonzalez thing going on where he's got by far the highest ground ball to fly ball ratio of his career, 1.7 ground balls per fly ball. That's very high. Had never been higher than 1.17, which I didn't realize he was kind of a ground ball hitter to begin with.
Yeah, I was going to say that's really an accomplishment for him because he's, you know, in terms of hitters that we expect to get some power from, Hosmer's probably the biggest ground ball hitter in the majors. I mean, I guess maybe you could now include Christian Yelich in that group because he doesn't give you great power, but he gives you a little bit. But he's the only one really that is more of a ground ball hitter even than Hosmer is.
Yeah, well, he's also got the lowest line drive rate of his career, or maybe since his rookie season. Yeah, lowest since 2012, not quite. But still somehow his highest home run to fly ball ratio, 13.6% or percentage. Anyway, you can make more sense of the numbers than I can with Hosmer, but it's been a tale of two seasons for this guy.
Well, what I want to do, so thank you for inspiring maybe another piece of content here, is look at the way he's being pitched. Because, you know, for a long period, you know, especially up until the point that Lorenzo Cain came back, I mean, this was really an inferior Royals lineup compared to what you saw earlier in the season. So
How do you do that? How do you look at the way he's been being pitched?
Well, I mean, you can go and look at heat maps. You can look at the splits on the plate discipline measures on FanGraphs and see what percentage of pitches he's getting in the zone. So I would say, you know, those two things will probably tell you a lot.
Did you see that on SI.com they reported that an NBA front office ran simulations to do some win probabilities, I guess? And their computer simulation had the Golden State Warriors winning 83 games out of a possible 82 games next season.
Wow, I knew Durant would help them, but that's that's above and beyond what I would have expected.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to win them. I'll take the under. But
yeah, I will too.
Doesn't that just completely dispel any advanced metrics? Like, does that just completely put an end to the business of advanced metrics? I obviously it does, right?
I don't know if it will, but if anything would, you'd think that would probably do it. You know, I mean, there's obviously a rounding error in there.
I guess
maybe
so.
They could legitimately go 82 and 0.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Hosmer or Solarte rest of season?
Wow. I'll go Hosmer, but that's really testing my trust in Hosmer.
Hosmer, but if you're going to take him over Solarte, I guess I have to go a little bit higher up there. Hosmer or Adam Duvall?
Rest of season. I'm not liking the question because I'm not comfortable with the rest of season with Adam Duvall in any comparison because he's so streaky. But all right, you're going to make me commit to somebody for the next, 8 weeks?
Yep.
I'll take Adam Duvall.
Oh, okay, okay. Now, those are some hitters who have been struggling. How about these pitchers? I was hoping Chris was going to be on the show today because he and I got into it a little bit about Chris Sale last time that we did the show together, and he thinks Chris Sale peripherally is having a down year. I didn't really care. I thought, you know, the one start against the Braves inflated his ERA. Other than that, he could be the Cy Young. He started the All-Star game. But it was good to see him strike out 10 against the Tigers in 8 innings. Good start for him. You can tell me if you're at all concerned about Chris Sale or Johnny Cueto or Steven Matz or Michael Fulmer, who has 14 strikeouts in his last 4 starts over 26 and 2/3. Or probably time to think about dropping Trevor Bauer. Let's say Bauer for last, different category. Sale, Cueto, Matz, Fulmer. Concerns about any of those 4?
Most concerned about Matz. And that's with kind of the asterisk on Fulmer that I have innings concerns with him. And maybe there's some durability issues too in why he's not getting the strikeouts. But yeah, you know, I started him this week and probably would continue to start Fulmer. So I'm not really that worried about him, at least in the short term. Okay. But Matz, it's really hard to start him right now.
2 starts next week, both at home, Arizona and San Diego.
I mean, those are, well, not as good of a matchup as you might think, because San Diego is really good against lefties.
Now, they were. That was when they had Kemp and Upton.
Okay.
But the thing is, I really thought San Diego was going to be an absolute laughingstock. And, boy, what did they do to Junior Gary yesterday? You know, they're actually hitting pretty well. I don't know what their record is. I feel like they're putting some runs on the board lately, though.
Yeah, they definitely are. And I do think that still presents a tough matchup for Matz. So I'm not sure where I stand on starting him next week. I would say questionable at best.
Okay.
And as far as Sale and Cueto are concerned, no concerns there at all. And I'll just echo what you said, that I can only find the start against the Tigers encouraging for Sale. And the strikeouts have been down this year. I would agree with Chris that, yeah, peripherally, it's been a little bit of a letdown for Sale, but I also feel that at any time he could revert back to the absolutely dominant version and give you the great, you know, surface fantasy stats with the underlying, you know, numbers that give you more confidence in those stats.
Is it time to drop Trevor Bauer?
Yes.
Yeah, only 1 quality start in his last 6, and he's been really bad lately. And he had to face the Twins, which wasn't fair. Tweet of the day comes from Fred Roby. He says, if it's runs batted in the plural should be RSBI.
You know, we get a lot of responses that say this
every
time we bring this controversy, this raging controversy up.
We do, and we do bring it up a lot. And I, you know what, Al? I'm going back to RBIs. I just feel more comfortable doing it.
You know, you should. You should do what you're comfortable with.
Yeah, I think I'm going to. RBIs. Who could still get traded in August? You know what? While you think about that.
Yeah.
I think we had an article on CBSSports.com with trade deadline stuff. Because, look, people can still get traded if they clear waivers. Here's a story. 26 candidates for an August waiver trade. I'm not going to read all 26. But Brian McCann, Derek Norris.
Yeah, Norris would be the one of the most likely.
Coco Crisps, Jeff Francoeur, Adam Lind could get traded. I've seen that a few places. Danny Valencia could still get traded. Carlos Gonzalez could still get traded if he clears waivers. He has a lot of money due to him.
Yeah. The big names. I mean, we've seen it happen before. I mean, the one I remember the best was the Adrian Gonzalez trade. Massive deal. When he went, I think that was from the Red Sox to the Dodgers. But I find it hard to imagine that the odds on a cargo trade post non-waiver deadline would be very high. But you never know.
And I think Ryan Madsen and David Robertson are 2 pretty decent candidates to clear waivers and get traded. So, yeah, something to keep in mind, Madsen and Robertson. Some more stuff here from yesterday. Good signs. Jake Lamb homered for the 2nd straight game. Jose Bautista homered for the 2nd straight game. Brandon Moss started at first base and he doubled twice. This is another guy I'm considering starting over Abreu next week. I just would have to make a roster move. Brandon Moss.
And yeah, I have to check the matchups, which I have not done on Moss.
You don't want the lefties?
No.
Right. Okay. Zanino homered again, and D. Gordon, since coming back from suspension, 8 for 23 with 3 steals, had 2 of them yesterday, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts, and a double. So I think good stuff so far from Gordon.
Yeah, I'll take that for sure.
Yeah. Can they keep doing this? Three players who have really excelled this year, beaten our expectations. Can they keep it up? Rick Porcello, Marco Estrada, and Daniel Murphy. Holy cow. He is still slugging 627, 21 home runs for Murphy after another dinger yesterday.
I think, you know, contrary to what our theme song says, I give Porcello the least chance of the three.
Yeah?
To repeat this next year. Because so much of his fantasy value this year has come from run support. You know, not to say that, you know, the Red Sox won't have a great lineup again next year, but I mean, he's 14-3 right now, even after this loss. And that's pretty extreme. And the strikeouts just haven't been there for Porcello the way that I thought that they might. So I mean, he's been good. I think he'll continue to be fantasy relevant, but I would expect that next year he'll be maybe a minor bust based on the expectations that he's raised so far this year. Estrada, you know, I'm still not exactly sure how he does it, but you know, he has found some way to be a fly ball pitcher in Toronto and kind of get the best of both worlds, which is not allow a lot of hits on balls in play, but not get too clobbered by extra base hits. So yeah, I think Estrada is, you know, with the location that he has and the spin, you know, he could continue that success. And Daniel Murphy, I mean, he's been doing this now for more than a season.
Yeah.
You know, going back to the last year.
Let me ask you this. Cut you off there. Who do you think is going to be better rest of the season, Daniel Murphy or Bryce Harper, that bum who hits in front of him?
I'll go ahead and say Bryce Harper, but I had to think about it for like 1 or 2 seconds there.
Is Bryce Harper a top five outfielder for you rest of season?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to go with the upside.
Okay. I don't disagree. I just waiting for it to happen. Justin Morneau is 7% owned. Is that too low for Morneau?
I think that is a little too low for Morneau.
He does sit against lefties. Keep that in mind, but.
Yeah, no, I mean, he doesn't have like huge appeal, but, you know, he's, hit another home run last night and, I think there's enough power there and enough playing time that, you know, has some deep mixed league appeal.
I'll come back to some more from yesterday, but I do want to spend time on emails here because the listeners deserve it. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. Dakota wrote us an email. The subject was, am I a psycho? So I thought that got my attention, you know? Someone in my 14-team head-to-head categories league just dropped Travis Jankowski, and I was, all in caps here, flabbergasted. Then I looked and I saw that he's only about 5% owned. That's not true. He's 22% owned in CBSSports.com leagues. I don't know what league you're playing in, Dakota, what website, but you just outed yourself as a non-CBS user. Shame on you. Am I a psycho for thinking that Travis Jankowski should be owned in all roto leagues? And he stole 6 in his last 4 games. Pretty crazy.
That is a very harsh psychological assessment, I gotta say.
Psycho, so, flabbergasted, very emotional email.
Yeah, but no. I mean, I don't personally think he needs to be owned in all roto leagues, but I think he needs to be owned in most of them. I think you could definitely count on the steals. At this point, you could definitely count on the playing time for Jankowski. So I'm not really sure what the argument is to not own him in a 5 outfielder league other than the relative lack of track record.
Well, he doesn't really do anything other than steal. So would you rather have Jankowski or Billy Hamilton? He's really not that much different.
No, I'd rather have Billy Hamilton.
Yeah. Okay.
But he's a must-own, certainly in roto, and pretty close to must-own period.
This email here from Justin basically sums up like the last 3 weeks of our podcast. Dear Zach Slater and Screech, you know those guys, Al?
Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, good for you. I'm in a 10-team. Are you aware of what's going on in Chicago with Saved by the Max?
No.
You're a Chicago. You lived in Chicago? I don't know.
I did. Grew up there. Well,
oh, you
when
did?
I was young. Yeah, the younger part of my childhood. Yeah.
Okay. So they have a restaurant there called Saved by the Max. It's not going to be a permanent thing. It's just kind of I don't even know what to call it. Just for the time being. And they have recreated the Max from Saved by the Bell. Apparently, it looks exactly like it. I went to Chicago a few weeks ago, and I tried to go, and there was like a 3-hour wait because it is it is like all the rage right now. Saved by the Max, pretty cool stuff. Anyway,
I was completely oblivious to that.
Yeah, Well, you really lost touch with your roots, Al. 10-team 5x5 Roto League looking to replace Lance McCullers. Choose two of the following. And, I mean, if we haven't spent so much time talking about most of these pitchers. Two of these guys, Skaggs, Paxton, Minaya, Pfister, Musgrove, Berríos, Andrés. Again, Skaggs, Paxton, Minaya, Pfister, Musgrove, Berríos, Andrés. Who are your two favorites?
You just gave me a flashback the way you read that. It's, you read those like they were school closings, like on a snow day. Like they're, the
what
Skaggs
a great
school
feeling
district.
That must have been. And we South Florida kids were so deprived of the snow day.
Oh, yeah. No, it's magic when they go down the list and then you hear your school district called.
Oh, amazing. Oh,
so good. Tough choices here. Let's see. Well, I got to go Skaggs. And then the finalists for the second spot, I would say, would be Paxton, Musgrove, and Berríos. Minaya, I think, is falls a little short.
Okay.
Give me Joe Musgrove. I'm
wow.
going upside. Yeah.
Must add Musgrove for Al Melchior. But what did I tell you before the show started, by the way, the musical thing that I told you?
I forgot already.
Okay, I told you that outside of my apartment right now, there's something going on.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I don't know if it's construction or whatever. I think the fire department is setting something up. It's nothing serious or anything. And somebody is blasting music. And before the show started, they were blasting Oh, What a Night by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. And that is an extremely annoying song to have stuck in your head. Now they are blasting Dust in the Wind by Kansas.
That's an upgrade, I think.
I guess. I really don't like this song at all. But it's completely distracting me from the task at hand, which is reading emails. That's Kansas, right?
That is Kansas.
Yeah. Kansas and Boston, basically the same band.
Oh, no.
Grade the trade.
Same era, both geographically.
They sound exactly the same. Who sings Carry On My Wayward Son?
Kansas.
It could be Boston, Al. It's the same band.
By the way, seeing Skaggs in that list too reminded me of my favorite email subject line that's come in the last few days when somebody emailed us with the subject line, I'm going to Tyler Skaggs.
Yeah, I'm going to Tyler Skaggs. Absolutely, it's great. All right, here's one from Tyler. I'm going to grade Tyler's trade. 14-team head-to-head categories league. I lost Story, so now I have Jungho Gong and Suarez at shortstop and second base. Not happy about that. Give up Miguel Cabrera. Get Xander Bogaerts, and I have Trumbo to replace Miggy. Give up Miggy, replace him with Trumbo, and get Bogaerts. Grade the trade.
Well, with the contextual extra credit, I'm going to give that a B. I like it.
You're confident enough in Trumbo to do that?
Yeah, because like I said, I think he'll come back to a level that's pretty much his career level, which is fine. It's a downgrade from Miggy, but you're getting Bogaerts.
Yeah. Justin from Michigan. I know Al's lived there. 12-team head-to-head categories league. Give up Edwin Diaz. Get Kyle Hendricks. Is that a good trade? How much regression is coming to Hendricks?
Oh, maybe a little, but not enough to really be a difference maker or, you know, to discount him significantly. You know, he mentions that he's already got four closers, and even if he didn't, you know, I'd say you probably could get a pretty good closer on waivers right now. There's some really, you know, good ones that aren't widely owned. So I like this trade a lot. I'll give this a B minus.
Kyle from a small town just north of Toronto. What do you think, Al?
Yeah, my Ontario geography isn't what it should be. North of Toronto.
Yeah, why don't we say...
Etobicoke, is that north of
yeah,
Toronto?
Yeah, absolutely. One of my favorites. Grade the trade. Dear Barfield, Bell, and Mosby.
Well, those are Blue Jays.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Who's Mosby?
Lloyd.
Sure. He's from that city you were talking about.
Etobicoke. I'm Google mapping right now to see if I'm even, like, even close.
he wants us to grade his trade. And the trade is give up Cole Hamels, get Bryce Harper in a 10-team league.
Yeah, I was too busy Google mapping. Hamels for Harper... I'll give that also a B minus.
Okay. This is from Tyler in Iowa. Dear
Toby Cook is west of Toronto.
Oh, Al. Now you have to change the trade grade. screwed everything up.
Still B minus.
Okay, still B minus. This is from Tyler. Dear Wyatt, Doc, and Warren. It's Wyatt Earp.
Yeah. Wyatt Earp.
Okay. Yeah, it's Wyatt Earp. I had to look it up. 10-team roto league. I could use some starter help. Which of these three relievers would you drop to grab Dylan Bundy? Sam Dyson, Roberto Osuna, and Dellin Betances.
Sam Dyson, very easily.
Why? Why are you, and I feel like Scott too, kind of down on Sam Dyson?
Well, I mean, I just think he's the, that was not intended, I swear.
Oh, Dyson vacuum. Nice. I didn't even catch that.
He's just the least skilled of the three. I mean, he is effective, but he's effective by means of the ground ball. He's more of a pitch to contact guy. And they picked up Jeffress, who's a very similar pitcher, equally effective with that sort of formula. And Dyson has struggled at times this year. So I just think he's the most vulnerable of the three.
Okay. Osuna doesn't seem like a great saves. Like, I don't know that he gets a ton. He's got 23 on the year.
Yeah. You know. I mean, look, Betances is definitely by far the best option out of that group. But I just worry about Dyson's save chances too, just either by virtue of losing the job or maybe sharing it at some point.
Okay. And finally, we have John. This is interesting. John's in a keeper league. He was offered Scherzer for Kershaw. Kershaw's $44, Scherzer's $35 in a $160 league. He's in first place. He's going to make the playoffs, but you know, he's also got Danny Salazar is going on the DL. He's on the DL. So I think I would do this. Give up Kershaw to get Scherzer. It might hurt you next year, but not that much. And it's totally going to help you this year. What would you do, Al?
Yeah, I would definitely do it. Now he says, there's playoffs. That for me is the key difference, because if it's just a matter of he's in first place in a roto league and, you know, if he could sort of coast, I'd say, I'd rather have Kershaw for the long term. But if it's an issue of, you know, you need to make sure your rotation is ready for the playoffs, then I would definitely make this deal.
All right. Al, that's going to be it for today's show. I think I oversold it at the top. I oversold it a little bit, but it wasn't your fault. You did a great job. I just, you know. You know what the problem was with today's show? There were so many damn news items. I hate news items. They're so boring, but they're important.
I think the problem with today's show was Kansas.
Oh, yeah. It's in my head. I keep thinking, I want to sing it right now. I'm not going to, but I kind of want to. So, no, I'm not going to. All right, it's Al Melchior. I'm Adam Azer. Thank you for listening, everybody. We're back tomorrow with some Week 19 help, two-star pitchers, most added, and more. Machado or Bono or